John 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
We're going to spend some time now looking at that passage that Corinne has just read for us. Let me pray for us as we start. Father God, in this season of trouble, help us to turn to you and hear your life-giving word today. Pour out your Spirit on us all so that we might have your peace. Amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. As our plans have been upended, as the country faces many deaths because of coronavirus and also massive social and financial costs to fight the virus, many of us will have troubled hearts. One thing that troubles us and that should trouble us is that we're being brought face to face with the reality of death. It's been said that the Victorians' taboo subject was sex, that the modern world's taboo subject is death. But the coronavirus has exposed how powerless we are to stop death. We are all going to die at some point, and any one of us could die tomorrow. In the reality of death, it's right to have troubled hearts. We need to know how to live as people who will die and could die tomorrow. And so much of how we live is being exposed as fragile and futile. So what will give us a confidence and peace that can get on with living today, knowing that our death is just a matter of time? Jesus addresses that problem for us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The disciples had every reason to be troubled. Jesus has told them that he's leaving them. He's told them that he's going to die. And he goes on in this, he's speaking to them the night before he gets killed. His closest followers are there. And he is telling them that they are going to have trouble in the world as well. But he's also giving them the key to having peace in the midst of trouble. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. See, the key to having peace in a troubled world is believing in Jesus, to believe his words, his promises, his claims. And those claims are audacious. Believe in me like you believe in God. Take Jesus as absolutely trustworthy, authoritative, and in control of the situation. And as we believe in Jesus, there are two claims which come together to give us confidence, to give us peace in an uncertain and troubled world. So first, Jesus says that we need to believe that he's prepared a room for us in God's home. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? The reason Jesus is not down here with us physically now is that he's preparing a room for us in God's home. Now, I don't know how exciting you find the idea of living in God's house. I might want to pause the video for a moment and chat together with someone else. Does the idea of having a room in God's house excite you in any way? Does it give you peace? I don't know whether you did the chat thing or not, but let's think a little bit more about it. Jesus is using an idea that had become part of Jewish hope and longing. Psalm 27 and verse 4, King David says this, One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and see all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Did you get that? This is the only thing King David wanted, to live in God's house. Why? Because then he could gaze on God's beauty. I wonder if that's how you've ever thought about God. Perhaps you thought God is powerful, perhaps I want to be on his side. And that's true, he's powerful, you want to be on his side. Perhaps you think God is the source of good things, of blessings, so I'd better stay close to him. Again, it's true, God is the source of every good thing. But here is another important reason to think living in God's house is wonderful. You get to see God, who is the most amazing, beautiful being anywhere. We're drawn to beauty, aren't we? You just see a beautiful sunset or some beautiful flowers. You see a beautiful baby or a beautiful couple. Stunning buildings, stunning mountains. Whatever it is, you see beauty and you're just drawn to it, want to enjoy it. And all the beauty we see in this world is there because the most beautiful one, God, shared some of his infinite beauty. Does that begin to make God's house seem a bit more attractive? Many of you would have been inside the Cambridge colleges or National Trust stately homes, and they're a bit different to the houses we live in. They have stunning buildings, amazing gardens, beautiful artworks. They're just astonishing places. But the people who live and lived in them are not so very different to us. God's house is going to far surpass Cambridge colleges and stately homes, but the occupier of that house, the owner of the house, God, will be the most splendid and beautiful thing there. Psalm 27 goes on, "For in the day of trouble, God will keep me safe in his dwelling." So it's a wonderful place to be, you'll enjoy it, but also it's a safe place to be. In a troubled world, God is strong and will never let anything harm his guests, his people. So when Jesus tells us he's preparing a room for us in our Father's house, that's wonderful news. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a room for you. Now, Jesus promises he has left us on earth so that he can prepare a room for us in God's home. We're not in God's home yet. We're waiting. We're on the journey. But Jesus does promise that he will take us there. Verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." It's important to say, as we face coronavirus, there is no promise in the Bible that if you trust Jesus, you won't die of this disease. That's not the promise. The promise is that Jesus takes his own people to his Father's house, that death is not the end, that we'll be taken to live in God's house forever with death defeated, evil crushed, disease eliminated, plagues removed. That's the promise. Jesus takes his people to live in his Father's house forever. And we mustn't think of that house as being like a spare place, an empty place. We mustn't think either that we'll be on the outsides of it, the edge of it. You know, we're not getting into God's house like the Rohirrim at Helm's Deep, cowering in the courtyards while the orc armies are around, but not be able to enjoy the inner parts of it. No, we'll have comfortable rooms in God's house, God's palace. We're not offered a bed in the corner. We're part of the family. And each of God's sons and daughters gets the best, the finest. I don't know what that will look like exactly. I know that whatever is best in this world is just a faint taste of what God will give his family. Each of us is welcome at God's table, and each of us is secure inside his great walls. And perhaps you're thinking, after a few days in your house, won't God's house be a bit confining? Well, I think what's being spoken of here in God's house is what's actually going to be the whole new creation. That there will be vast amounts to explore and to enjoy. So as you face the possibility of death, or the loss of loved ones, or livelihood, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe that Jesus has prepared a room for you in God's house. But with the room prepared, the question is how do we get there? It's really important. If there is an option for getting this eternal room in God's house, how do we get to this forever home? And Thomas helps us by asking the questions we want to ask. He's called Doubting Thomas because after Jesus' resurrection, he refused to believe Jesus had risen from the dead until he saw Jesus with his own eyes and touched the wounds. Well, that sort of skeptical, and you want to understand it, mindset is really helpful for us. Jesus has said, you know the way to the place I'm going. And Thomas says, actually, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Now, if I'm teaching and I've just stated something clearly and people don't get it, that's a bit frustrating. Jesus has just said exactly where he's going, but he hasn't spoken so much about the way. And so he ignores the bit about the where are you going bit and he focuses on the way bit. And he says, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's one way to the Father's home, and it's Jesus. You might want to pause here a moment and discuss again. What is the good news in Jesus' words in John 14, verse 6? And what's the bad news or the difficult things? Well, if you've discussed, I'm not sure what you've come up with. Let me start with the bad news, as I see it in this passage. The bad news is that this verse is really unpopular. This is not a popular thing to say in our society, that there is one way to God. The widespread view in our society is that if there is a God or a heaven, there are many ways to it. So that Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, even moral atheism will get you there. But it's worth noticing a few things or remembering a few things. Firstly, this is Jesus saying it. I'm not making this up because I want to have a more narrow system or something like that. Jesus says it. So you can't say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I think he's God, and I think he got it totally wrong about this thing. That doesn't really work to say Jesus is God and I know better than him. You might want to dismiss Jesus as a narrow bigot for saying these words. I'd urge you, if you're thinking of doing that, to read a whole biography of Jesus, one of the four Gospels, and see whether you can really say that, having read his whole life. These are Jesus' words. He's the one saying that there is one way, and if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have to take Jesus' words. You have to believe his words. The second thing that's worth noticing is that actually, no other religion is even claiming to take us to God the Father. Often when people say all religions lead to the same place, that place is very ill-defined. It's something divine, something beyond this life. But one of the things that happens in the Bible is that the ultimate is revealed in more detail. And explicitly, Jesus is the one who reveals the Father. Verse 7 of this passage, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know and have seen him. God has become man, God the Son has become man, so that we can see what God is like. And if we see Jesus, we know the Father. But without Jesus, how would we know that? Here is the revelation of the Bible. And in comparison, other religions just aren't asking the same question or offering the same answer. Islam rejects the use of father and son language for God, says that that's not appropriate for God. God is beyond that sort of thing. Buddhism, as I understand it, aims at ceasing to exist in the cycle of suffering. So it's not really interested in a relationship with God, much less knowing God as Father. And so you see, other religions are not claiming to take us to the Father revealed by Jesus. We're not being disrespectful to say that only Jesus takes us to the Father, when other religions don't claim to offer that. But the good news is that Jesus is offering something unique that really helps us in our need. Three things we can't get by ourselves. Firstly, he says that he is the way, and it's implied to God the Father. And it's really good news to know that there's a way to God. After all, it would be totally possible for the infinitely great creator to have nothing to do with us. It would certainly be possible for the perfectly good and just God to decide that he's going to leave us in our mess and then judge us, rather than coming down to connect with us. But God the Father has sent God the Son to make a way to God. It's good news that there's a way. And there can only really be one way, because the bridge between humans and God has to be so specialised, so unique. There's God on one side and humans on the other. And we need one who is both God and human to bridge that gap. That's Jesus. He's the only one who is God become man. Or to put it another way, given that the human path leads down into death, if we are to get to God in our journey, we need one who has gone down to death and then come out the other side and gone all the way back up to God. And only Jesus has died and risen again to life, never to die again. So Jesus uniquely provides the way to the Father. He's the only God become man, dying and rising, way to the Father. Jesus also says that he's the truth. That we all want truth. We all hate being ignorant or misled. One of the things that's happening with the coronavirus is that there's all sorts of rumours and speculations to who do you believe, which version of events. And frustratingly, the chief scientists were saying one of the things about the virus at this point is it's so new that there's lots of things that we don't know yet. The government scientists are making the best decisions they can with limited information. And no doubt in a year or two's time, when they've got full information, I think maybe we should have done some things differently. But they're doing the best they can now. And we're in the same position when it comes to ultimate reality, the nature of God, human existence. We don't have all the truth. And so we don't know what the best decisions are. So it's great news that Jesus is the truth about ultimate reality, about God and about us. He tells the truth about God, but even more than that, he shows the truth about God. He is God become human. So he does on a human level what God always is doing. He shows the compassion and grace and power and truth that we always need. And so we don't have to live in a fog of ignorance about ultimate reality, blundering through the fog to try and find our way. We have the truth about God and us and how we should live. That's a huge relief. And thirdly, it's good news that Jesus says he is the life. When we're confronted with our own mortality, knowing the one who is the life sounds good. Earlier in John's account of Jesus' life, Jesus has already gone to the graveside of a friend in the ground for 4 days. And there he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he calls, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man comes out. Power over death is attractive at this moment in time. It's demonstrated again at Jesus' own resurrection on the third day. It's a wonderful thing. But ultimately, Jesus is saying not just that he has power over death, great though that is, but also that he has the ability to give a special sort of life, or life to the full. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus defines life as knowing the true God. Life includes existence, of course, but I guess we've all had those days, or hours at least, where we've existed, but we haven't felt particularly full of life. Whether it's because we're at home coughing and with chest infection, or whether it's because we've been toiling, or whether it's because of boredom, frustration. There's a sense of a day where you existed, but you didn't live. There's no life at all. What Jesus is offering is life to the full, because it's life lived in relationship with God. That life involves love. Jesus has that life-giving relationship with God the Father, a relationship that lasts forever. And the life and joy and blessing that flows from his relationship with the Father, he offers to us. So we can share in that joyful relationship of love and life now. And that relationship will continue beyond our death, because we know the God who lives forever. It's good news that Jesus offers what no one else can. A way to the Father, the truth about God and humanity, and life to the full with God. And since he himself is the way, the truth and the life, the way to give peace to our troubled hearts is to believe in Jesus, to trust him and to welcome him. When we do that, we can be certain that Jesus will take us to our room in God's house, we can be certain that we're adopted children of God. Jesus' words offer immense comfort to everyone who believes in him. If you're not a follower of Jesus and are looking for peace and hope at this time, Jesus offers a lasting hope and a guaranteed happy ending that no one else is offering. You can trust him today and be confident there will be a room for you in God's family home. If you'd like to find out more about what that means or ask questions, I'd love you to get in touch. You can find contact email on our website and Facebook page. And if a few people are interested, we might try and set up something like an online Christianity Explored course. If you have trusted in Jesus, then be reassured. Let these truths sink in and calm your heart and mind. Stand in this peace. Try and take a little bit of time every day to come back and center yourself on these truths. If the worst things happen in every way in this life and then you die, still your eternity is glorious and secure. The Father loves you, and Jesus gave his life to guarantee your way to everlasting life. And having thought about and delighted in those enormous truths, then maybe that will help us to bear patiently and to love sacrificially through all that comes in the next few months. Let's have a moment's quiet to reflect on this for ourselves, and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you that in everything you do, you are acting for our good, acting to enable us to be at home with you and your Father forever. Please help us to believe that. Please, by your Spirit, calm our hearts and minds and give us a confidence and a peace and a joy that surpasses our circumstances. Amen. Well, if you want to respond in worship, the next and final song is In Christ Alone, which focuses us on Christ, our hope, who assures us of forgiveness and life. Thanks for listening. I hope we'll see you again. Well, you'll listen again next week. God bless.